You know, Brother Jay, when I think of February, I think of the British Isles.
Do you now?
I do. I think of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and Edgar Wright and Lucy Davis and all of the wonderful cast of characters that we'll meet in the four movies, or sorry, the three movies, the Cornetto trilogy, the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
It is better to be truthful and good than to not.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
Why? If it ain't a clown. You know, I never found clowns that funny myself.
And they're sometimes joined by guests like...
This is Travis.
I had to stop her from screaming.
And Diane.
If you men only knew.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road. And, you know, anyway.
I think so.
Okay, well, welcome. This is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
And tonight we're going to talk about Shaun of the Dead, the 2004 Edgar Wright directed movie written by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. And this is the beginning of a little trek we're going to have with all of these movies.
Well, when you say all of these movies, I didn't realize, is this a series or just these Simon Pegg movies in general?
Well, actually, these there's three movies in what they call the Cornetto trilogy. It's the this is the first one, followed by Hot Fuzz, and then The World's End. And each of them have something to do with a cornetto in there somewhere. And a cornetto, if you don't know, is the the American equivalent would be the Nestle's drumstick, like single serving ice cream cone you can buy at a convenience store.
Oh, I get it. All right.
Yeah, so apparently it's like Edgar Wright had thought of it as a hangover cure.
Oh, well.
So that's how it kind of came to be in the movie.
I like it because I thought it was a hilarious movie. So.
Well, they're all...
I like Simon Pegg, so...
Yeah, he's funny, and they are all relationship movies. I mean, Shaun of the Dead, it's a zombie movie. It's not exactly a horror movie. It's really just a relationship movie.
Well, what the goal was, is because it's a horror movie with a comedy movie playing in the background. Or maybe vice versa somewhat. But the goal is, I mean, because the effects, I mean, they talked about, he said, you know, we made an attempt to be very true because the zombie canon is true and we tried to make a horror film on the one track, but then we have a comedy going on the other track.
And it works so well. The reason this movie just works so well is because it's a charming movie that also doesn't violate any of the rules of zombie movies.
Exactly, and that's what they were going for.
Yeah, well, and, okay, since you've seen a lot of the special features, you probably know more about this than I do, but apparently all these folks worked on a UK comedy show called Spaced.
Which I hadn't heard of, so I looked it up when you told me about it, and gotta say, good God, they look very different.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Frost, you know, Simon Pegg look distinctively different.
Well, and they were younger, too.
Yeah.
So, and this was, again, I haven't seen the series, and I definitely want to go back, but I know that Drew and I have talked about how we appreciate when directors hire their friends. Yeah, this is what Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg have been doing, is they keep working with the same people, which is why the three movies have nothing to do with each other individually, but they have a lot of the same actors.
So you and Drew speak of that as a good thing?
Oh, yeah. No, I really admire if the people are good. I mean, if you kept hiring a bad actor, that's not a good thing. But if you see the same actor or group of actors, especially like character actors that show up in the director's movies, you kind of get the idea that this is a person who is trusted by the director.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. You should reward, you know, people that you work with that are successful, especially when in that business, it just seems like there's a lot of luck involved. and being in the right place at the right time. Plus, you know, yeah. who wants to cast, you know, if you have somebody in mind that you know would work, who wants to go through a gigantic casting process if you don't have to?
Well, and it's easy when you know your chemistry and works, and you know how each other talk, and you know how each other work, then it's easy to be able to just kind of transition from movie to movie, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, so. And you know, if you already have a working relationship with one series, if you're the least bit, you know, improv-y as an actor, I'm sure that you could just translate that into other characters.
And there was a fair bit of Nick Frost improv going on, by the way.
Oh, and he is funny.
It looked in several parts of the, because I have the extended scenes and then I have the deleted scenes. In several takes, Nick Frost was just trying to get Simon Pegg to laugh. He was just trying to mess with him. So yeah, he would do over-the-top stuff.
Which is good, because his character is pretty much comic relief in this movie.
Yeah, but apparently Nick Frost and Simon Pegg were roommates for many years.
And that seems to make sense. I mean, they seem to have a good relationship.
Yeah, they're kind of like brothers.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a question for you right off the bat.
Sure.
Why is there a big hole in Nick Frost's hair in the back?
I don't know, but I think it's just kind of emblematic of that he's kind of a losery guy who, you know, like he tried to shave and whoops, or he had a rough night or something.
So that's just
it's
on
never
him.
Really, I don't think so. I don't think it's ever really explained.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look out for it when I watch Hot Fuzz next.
Yeah, I will too. I noticed that. I did notice that, and I thought there's got to be some inside joke, but I didn't really notice it on when they were, there's a video diary. They all did video diaries, which I haven't finished watching all of because there's a lot of stuff on the DVD. So, but I watched Simon Pegg's video diary and Nick Cross was in it and he kept saying, stop filming me, stop filming me, stop filming me. Like, you already have me in a movie. I don't need to be in any more film. Stop filming me. Except that at one point, apparently, Nick Frost had to get an injection of some kind of anti-inflammatory painkiller because he'd hurt his shoulder on set, and so he's having some troubles. And so they basically, Simon Pegg videotaped him getting a shot in the ass.
Well, of course he did.
So you see Nick Frost's big, you know, cellulite ass, which, you know, I identify with because I'm a big cellulite ass. So it was kind of funny. And then, of course, they did like a mashup of it. So,
well, again, that's... that's the kind of relationship you want to have on a movie, I think.
I think so.
I mean, again, you know, having never been, you know, this is all a mystery to me as far as what it would be like to be on a film set. But it seems like the more fun you could have, the better, because it would be a lot of hurry up and wait.
Well, I think watching some of the, how they were making it on the video diary, it really brings you kind of full circle to, well, you can see the sets are just so like very two dimensional. And it's amazing how, like, when you see certain aspects of it where, at one point Nick's on, Nick Frost is on the couch, his character's on the couch, and Simon pops out from the front door and says, you know, do you want anything from the shop or whatever? When they're actually shooting that scene, the couch wasn't even against the wall. The couch was like probably 2.5 feet away from the wall at an angle. It's just how they shot the angle that it made it look like the wall was right there. Because they had all the stuff, like all the equipment behind for the cameras and the cranes. And so it was really kind of interesting to see a lot of that. And then also you get to see how, all of the of course, none of it's filmed in sequence. You know, it's filmed in however they have the set. So if they're shooting all the sets for one day, all the sets happen to be, of the house that's all together. Then, you know, they do all the filming for the house in that day. And then if they're out in the courtyard, they do all the filming for the courtyard the next day. So, you know, the movie's not shot in any kind of linear sequence. So it's kind of strange to watch this unfold. So,
yeah, that's the one thing, because I just watched the movie. I haven't watched any of the extras. I did a little bit of research just trying to, because there were, you know, faces I recognized. And then there were people that just looked familiar that I couldn't necessarily place. And then right. I took some, some of the little trivia parts of it. Really isn't, I mean, I think most of the trivia, at least on IMDb, comes directly from the, like, director's commentary. Because if nothing else, this was made in the time of director's commentaries and actor's commentaries and that kind of thing, special features. So you get a lot of that. And it seems like there are plenty of inside jokes, so it's nice to have someone explain them to you.
Yeah, there's lots going on. There's lots going on. So, and you've seen this before, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's a joy every time to see. Because it's just good. It's just good storytelling and good acting. It's funny. Do we want to just start with the plot then?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, opening, we have Sean, Simon Pegg, who is talking to his girlfriend at the Winchester pub. Or rather, she's really talking to him.
Sean.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
I know he's your best friend, but you do live with him.
I know.
It's not that I don't like Ed. Ed, it's not that I don't like you.
It's all right.
It'd just be nice if we could...
Fuck.
Spend a bit more time together.
Bollocks.
Just the two of us.
Cock it.
It's just with Ed here. It's no wonder I always bring my flatmates out, and then that only exacerbates things.
What do you mean?
Well, you guys hardly get on, do you?
No, what does exacerbate mean?
It means, to make things worse.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not that I don't like David and Di, you know? Guys, it's not that I don't like you.
Right.
And it's not that I don't want to spend time with you, because I do. It's just, Ed doesn't have too many friends.
Can I get any of you cunts a drink? Anybody?
No, thank you.
I know friends are important to Sean, but you do actually have to set some quality time aside for yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, Daz is always taking me to see these listed buildings and, you know, I'm always dragging him to the theatre.
I'm not so hot on theatre.
Well, how about a nice meal? It's your anniversary soon, isn't it?
It was last week.
Oh, did you do anything special?
We came here.
Sean, hoglumps!
Sean, what I'm trying to say is I need something a little more. More than spending every night in the Winchester. I want to get out there and do more interesting stuff. I want to live a little. And I want you to want to do it too.
Oh, listen to me. You're beginning to sound like your mum. Not that I know what she sounds like.
You still haven't met his mum.
Not yet.
Don't you get along with your mum, Sean?
No, it's not that I don't get on with her.
Are you ashamed by your mum, Sean?
No, I love my mum.
Yeah, I love his mum.
Ed.
She's like butter.
Ed.
Sean.
Guys.
Sean.
Liz. Look, I understand what you're trying to say, okay? And I agree. You should get out there. We'll start tomorrow. All right, I'll book a restaurant. You know, the place that does all the fish. Just the two of us. Things will change. Promise.
Really, Sean?
Time, gentlemen!
Sean?
She is dissatisfied with their relationship. The roommates, by the way, are David, Dylan Moran, and Diane, who's Lucy Davis. And Lucy Davis is best known for The British Office, and she's just great.
Well, and I love Lucy Davis because she was also in Studio 60.
She was. She's been in a lot of things here and there.
She has been. I just love her. I love her delivery. I think she's really pretty, so.
Oh, me too. Yeah, she's frankly, to my eye at least, she's much prettier than Liz. And Liz, her, you know, the character Liz is, she like plays the straight woman in this whole thing. She doesn't have, there's not a lot of fun coming out of her on purpose, and it's fine. She does a great job. But
although she's inadvertently funny repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. No, but she's more like sort of bitter funny. Because she's just putting up with Sean's nonsense a lot of the time.
Yes.
But, and I love David's performance as the roommate. Who is having a relationship with Diane, I assume, but really is in love with Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny. So there's this dynamic of it's a fivesome. It's Sean and Ed, and then it's Liz, David, and Diane. And, of course, Ed and David and Diane would never think to spend any time together because they don't like each other.
Right. They're only thrust together because people make them be thrust together.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Liz doesn't want to go every night to this pub, the same old pub they go every night. they like to go out and do things. And Sean is just satisfied not to do things. He just wants to hang out in the pub with his friends.
Well, you also get the impression the movie kind of hints at that Sean's afraid to eat food at other places.
Oh, really? I didn't get that. But it's funny.
Yeah, they kind of hint that he has some kind of food issue.
Huh.
It's alluded to that, you know, he's afraid to go other places because of the food. And that's, you know, they're always suggesting other places. And he's like,
Oh, that's funny. Well, it also, you know, he's not grown up. He doesn't want to be a grown up. Even though he's 29.
No, he lives at home with his weed, you know, his weed dealing roommate and the other roommate who barely keeps them responsible. He works at an electronics shop for like teenagers. And, he wants to play on their PlayStation, except that, you know, Ed quickly reminds him, don't you have work?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Ed isn't even an official roommate. He just, like, came to play PlayStation one night and never left because he's Sean's friend. And Pete, yeah, the real roommate, is pissed about it.
Right.
Because Ed is great. Ed is a character. Nick Frost is fantastic. He's unemployed. He's a drug dealer who doesn't, he doesn't actually sell much drugs. He's something of a slob. He's not a bad guy. He's just very simple. But he's also not dumb. He's just, again, simple. He doesn't stretch his wings intellectually or anything. But he's a laugh.
Did you notice that the very opening of this movie was a total zombie opening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the funny thing about this movie is you get the first part of the story. You have this confrontation in the very beginning at the pub where Sean says, tomorrow, because it's our anniversary was 2 weeks ago and we just went to the Winchester, tomorrow we'll go to that place that serves the fish. So they make a date where it's just going to be Sean and Liz the next day. Then Sean goes home, and the next morning, Sean gets up, and he does his normal getting up in the morning thing, where he wakes up, and of course, it's hilarious that he wakes up and is like yawning and stumbling out of the into the common area, so he's already like a zombie.
Yeah, he's a zombie shuffle.
And they're already playing like this zombie, creepy, like Return of the Living Dead kind of music.
Well, and apparently the shuffling out of the room was an homage to, was it the Dawn of the Dead, the Day of the Dead? Anyways, an homage to one of the movies.
Oh, yeah, there are lots of references to zombie movies in this. Really, really nice. Yeah. You know, I mean, they took the time to do it right.
Well, plus they did actually pay a good deal for special effects.
Oh, yeah. No, the zombies look good. I mean, you can tell. And actually, it's funny that, again, these people use all their friends. Well, this is the first of the series, so I'm sure they didn't have an unlimited budget. So every extra you see then turns up later as a zombie.
Yes.
Most notably. Well, and
in the beginning of the movie, there's a queue of them standing at like a bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are later zombies in the movie.
Oh, in the very beginning, there's that scene where he kind of goes past. You kind of get the impression that we're already living in a zombie world because they're queuing up for the bus and they're queuing up to check out at the grocery store. But, you know, the woman in the foreground who's doing the checking of the groceries where she's just sort of mindlessly running groceries across the scanner, that's Mary who later shows up as a zombie in the backyard.
Exactly.
So
yeah, nobody was really an extra. Everybody ends up being a zombie.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. And they all, you know, they're not, I mean, some of the zombie movements are kind of funny. You know, there are a couple of scenes of kind of gory things, but not too bad.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I don't do horror movies and I don't do the squeamish stuff. I'm really bad about that. I'm kind of girly in that way. So, you know, I'm not good at this kind of gore stuff. But this movie, I think, is just on the cusp of where I'm like, I think it's, you know, it's fine, and I think it's hilarious, so it helps.
Oh, yeah. Well, so the next morning, Sean gets up and, you know, stretches and goes to the bathroom. There's nice little cut scenes where he's doing his normal thing. And then he goes to the couch to start, you know, he picks up his controller and it says, player two is entered the game. And then Ed says, you got work today. So he says, player two has left the game. And then he goes into the kitchen.
By the way, that was the voice of, that was from the voice of Pete, by the way.
Oh, really? He does the voice for the video game?
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, So Sean goes into the kitchen and meets his roommate, Pete, who is pissed because he's come home to find that Ed has left the front door open again and wants him just gone because he's a slob and needs to go find a place to live. And Sean's defending his friend, but, you know, having this conversation.
You do know the front door was open again last night. I'm not saying it was you.
I know, man.
I'm saying it was Ed.
Right.
I can't live like this. Yeah, just look at the state of it. We're not students anymore.
Pete,
I mean, it's not like he even brings any real money into the house.
Well, he brings a bit.
What? Dealing drugs?
Oh, he sells a bit of weed every now and again, you know? You've sold puff.
Yeah, once, at college, to you.
Well, look, I've known him since primary school. You know, I like having him around. He's a laugh.
What, because he can impersonate an orangutan? Fuck a doodle-doo.
Oh, leave him alone.
All right, I admit, he can be pretty funny on occasion. Like that time we stayed up all night drinking apple schnapps and playing Tekken 2.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
That was 5 years ago. When's he going home?
You know, Sean is defending Ed, but he knows that Pete has a lot of valid points.
Right.
And then Sean goes to his normal thing where he goes to the corner store, where he gets a soda.
He walks down the street, he does his shuffling, he trips over the hole in the cement right in front of the guy who's washing his car.
Yeah, he has this whole routine. Takes the bus, goes to work, where he works at this electronic shop. And
well, he went to the shop first, I think. Didn't
yeah, he? No, he went to the corner store first, yeah. Yeah, and then he goes.
There's a clue on the newspapers.
Oh yeah, there's as he's doing his normal routine, he's looking and people are acting strangely. And yeah. In the background, whenever you hear like radio or TV, it's alluding to some weird stuff. Like they talk about how the like Jupiter 3 mission or whatever came down a week early or something, and it's all that's kind of an homage, I think, to the original Night of the Living Dead, where they didn't really tell you. What was going on, except they thought it was something to do with a satellite coming down.
Well, but the newspaper said GMO crops are blamed for...
Oh, that's funny.
The newspaper just said GM crops are genetically modified crops. So I think the tongue-in-cheek reference is that, you know, the GM crops are what's going to, you know, what's out to get everybody.
Well, maybe. Well, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal here now, but it's a huge deal in England. I mean, even when I visited over there, it was a gigantic deal. And for good reason, but this is not a Monsanto podcast, so we'll continue on. So Sean goes to his electronics store job, where the not only is the manager out, but like the supervisor is out sick. So Sean is the senior oldest person there, so he's giving everybody the morning pep talk. And it's funny that everybody there is a kid and everybody's chewing gum.
Yeah.
And there's this nice little back and forth between, Noel and Sean. And that's kind of funny. And then we meet Philip, Bill Nighy, who is so funny because he already is a zombie. Like, his character is totally like flat affect, emotionless, and kind of pasty. So from the very beginning, you know, you're like, ugh. And he and Sean, there's no real love lost, it appears. He's Sean's stepfather. And he's there to remind Sean that he's to visit his mother and perhaps some flowers would be in order. So Sean's like, yeah, because again, Sean's not a grown up.
No, because Sean, you know, forgot flowers on Mother's Day.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, Sean is something of a loser. You know, loser with a heart of gold, but still sort of a loser. So after this long day at work where you get to see more clips, a little bit of the news here and there, then... he on his way home, he bumps into his old friend, Yvonne, who's played by Jessica Hines, who they catch up real fast, and he asks what he and Liz are doing for their anniversary. And that's when he remembers he forgot to make the reservations at the place that serves the fish. So there's a nice scene of him running home and trying to make the call. And, of course, he looks up in the phone book, and in the phone book you see that it says... the place that serves the fish and gives a phone number.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's apparently the only place in all of the UK that serves fish.
Well, it's just funny that they throw that in there. And of course, who's the, the person on the other end of the conversation is actually, Edgar Wright, who's being the person at the restaurant, maitre d' or whatever, that's saying, no, we gave her the last table. So Sean has to call Liz and explain, or maybe she calls and he has to explain, oh yeah, the thing about the restaurant, it didn't work out so well. So what are we going to do? Maybe we'll just go to the Winchester. So she hangs up on him. She's angry. And so he runs, jumps in a cab, goes to her flat, bringing his mom's flowers with that he has stopped at the store to buy for the bomb. But she breaks up with him. You know, there's a nice little scene about the flowers, and there's a funny scene where Sean's trying to apologize, and Liz is like, well, you know, you didn't even get the restaurant. I'm not going to the Winchester. And Sean says, well, we can just hang out with you and your friends. And Liz is like, you hang out with my friends? Sorry, a failed actor, said a twat. Sean's like, well, that's a bit harsh. Liz, your words. Sean, I did not call Diane a failed actress. Which just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So at the end of that, Sean and Liz are broken up. And Sean is brokenhearted. So tail between his legs, he ends up back at the Winchester with Ed. And Ed's trying to lift his spirits, but Sean is down and nothing's going to bring him back up. Especially on the jukebox, on random. If You Leave Me Now by Chicago Plays, which is funny. There's a lot of funny music in this, and I'm not going to mention every bit of it, but it's just sort of, there's some funny stuff in here.
No, I wrote down Chicago, oh Lord, that's on the jukebox. And then, but, and you know, and then, you know, they're in the pub, and then you know, Ed gets to deliver his wonderful line. He's like, what, you know, we're here in the Winchester. You've got your pint, you've got your, you know, your pig snacks. What do you want, a monkey?
Yes.
Like, you should be happy. This is everything. Like, you've got it all right here.
Well, and then Ed gets to deliver another great line where he's trying to cheer Sean up and says, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're just going to binge drink. And then he proceeds to tell a little story which summarizes everything that's going to happen the next day. They start out going to some place for a Bloody Mary. That's Mary in the backyard. They get a bite at the King's Head, which would be Philip. They meet up, they get a couple, and then there's a mention of a little princess, and then they stagger back to the bar for shots, which is the Winchester where they end up taking the rifle out. It's brilliant. He sums up the entire rest of the movie just in one little line.
There's lots of that in this movie, though. There's lots of little things like that.
Ah, it's great. So they spend all, you know, until the bar closes, they end up stumbling out singing White Lines by Grandmaster Flash.
White lines, visions, dreams, and passion flowing through my mind, and all the while I think of you.
Smile, haven't you had your tea?
Something of a phenomenon, baby, telling your body to come along, cause white lines blow away. Shush. Get higher, baby.
What's he doing? Just say bass.
Or freeze. What a tip.
And they have their first real zombie encounters. Which is, of course, a little zombie sing-along.
Oh, go ahead. Because I wrote down, he's the bass zombie.
Oh, yeah. It's very funny. Then they go home to do what all English people do, at least in the early 2000s, is they go home to listen to the, like, EDM music, which wasn't called EDM, and pretend to be DJs. And they're spinning electro records. But
it's not hip hop, it's electro.
Exactly. And they're interrupted by Pete, who is angry, of course, because anytime he sees Ed, he's angry. He's also angry because it's freaking 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and he has to get up later that day to go to work because everybody's sick. He has a gigantic headache because he was mugged and bitten by a crackhead after work. And then there's this tense conversation between Pete and Sean where Pete tells him to sort his life out, and Ed is just bringing him down. And Ed is great, because Ed just says, like, why'd they buy you? You know, like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Pete goes back to bed, and it's strongly implied that Sean and Ed basically just sort of pass out. Sean actually does out in the kitchen.
Yeah, you see Sean passed out in the kitchen because they have that great transition where it's like suddenly it's just light in the kitchen, like they just turned the light on outside.
Yes,
it was a great and like scene of enlightenment. It was fantastic.
Well, and plus he plays his messages where his mom is saying that does he need any kind of hopefully he'll bring his girl Liz along because they haven't met, and are there any special dietary requirements? Because these days some people don't eat meat, And so he sort of passes out and wakes up the next morning and does his same stretching and shuffling. And he has to basically do his normal thing to go to work. So he goes to the corner shop, but he asks Ed what he wants from the corner shop. And Ed just says, Cornetto. So Sean does his normal thing like he did the day before, except a little more stumbly because he's got a big hangover, and he shuffles his way over to the corner store. And he does not realize at this point, but we certainly do, that the zombie apocalypse has come. And everybody he just sort of routinely like either nodded to or just walked past yesterday is pretty much the same person as a zombie today. So he goes back after leaving not quite enough change. He didn't see the blood stains on the refrigerator in the corner store.
Or tripping on the blood on the floor.
Yeah, he misses all of this for what it is and goes back home. And then Ed tells him, yeah, there's this woman in the backyard. So that's when they go and find Mary in the backyard. And they just assume that Mary is super drunk. And they like to shoo her off, but when she's like, toward them, like, oh, she is so drunk. And Ed has already got her attention by, like, heaving a rock at her. She ends up trying to attack Sean, and they end up pushing her back, and she falls on some sort of, like, pipe or something in the backyard.
I think it's an umbrella stand for one of those tables.
Oh, that's probably it.
Outdoor tables with the circular umbrella stand that you would put the umbrella into.
Yeah, and that's what she lands on, and then takes herself off of that pole, and you realize, okay, now we're in a zombie movie for real. Because there's some pretty good special effects, including the hole directly through her.
Yeah.
Which is always a fun thing. So they discover not only is Mary in the backyard, but also this fat guy. So they decide to go inside the house and have a little sit down. And as they're sitting down and they turn on the TV, and I believe that's when you get the first sign of when they're flipping the channels and seeing like the story of how this has all come down. Or maybe that's after this last thing, but anyway. It's a very clever scene where they go through all of the channel hopping. Anyway.
Yeah, but each channel gives a word of the same sentence.
Exactly.
Although no one official is prepared to comment, religious groups are calling it Judgment Day. There's panic on the streets
of London. As an increasing number of reports of
serious attacks on
people who are literally being eaten alive.
A witness reports are sketchy. One unifying detail seems to be that the attackers in many instances appear to be
dead excited to have with us here a sensational chart-topping
or ideological connection between those committing the atrocities and perhaps more alarmingly.
As they're sitting on the couch, just kind of having to think about this whole people in the backyard, they realize that Ed has, of course, left the front door open. So zombie guy, who is missing an arm, comes strolling in. And I think he's one of the guys from the bus stop.
The zombie groom, I think.
Yeah, I think he was at the bus stop the other day, too. But yeah, he's got an arm off, which was sort of a funny Englishism. And Ed ends up smashing him in the head with an ashtray, I think. And then they find out from the television that, yeah, you gotta destroy their brains or cut off their heads. So they arm themselves with basically like flatware out of the kitchen and some little appliances and go out to the backyard to try to throw them at Mary and the fat guy in the backyard. And none of that seems to have an effect, but Ed picks up one of the electro records that Pete threw out the window yesterday and wings it at the guy, the fat guy, and hits him in the head with it. Like, ooh, so they go and they get Sean's record collection. And that's a fine little scene where they discuss which records you can throw and which ones you can't.
which ones are worthy of tossing and which ones aren't.
Yes.
Well, and they have terrible aim. Like, I don't know why they thought it was a good idea.
Oh, yeah, it's a horrible idea. And even when they hit the people, it wasn't. You're not going to chop somebody's head off with their record.
Right.
But it was funny to watch.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. So then they break into the shed in the back, and they come out with a cricket bat and a shovel. And that's where they find the weapons that actually work. And I think in one of the trivia things they mentioned that during the whole movie, there's people have various implements, you know, people in their party, like a golf club or, in, you know, Ed's case, like the shovel. Nobody ever actually uses any of those, like actually strikes any zombies, because the only prop they had that was padded was the cricket bat. That's why you notice Sean is the only one actually hitting people with his weapon. Anyway, a little movie detail that I like. So that's when they come back and watch the TV and find out, okay, what's really going on. Then they get a call from John's mother. And that's when Sean actually cares quite a bit about his mother. He doesn't like Philip at all. But, you know, he really is worried about his mother's safety. And his mother, by the way, is so funny. It's Penelope Wilton as Barbara. In fact,
there's a great job.
Well, and is it an homage to Night of the Living Dead, where that's where Ed actually during the phone conversation says, "We're coming to get you, Barbara."
Yeah, he has the best line of the whole movie.
Oh yeah, but she does pretty well, because when Sean is like, "Are you okay? Did they hurt you?" She goes, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine, Mom." Well, they were a bit bitey. Anyway, being a bit bitey is very funny. So then they have to hatch a plan, and so Sean and Ed are going to go and take Pete's car and go and drive to Mom's house and kill Philip, and then take Mom over to Liz's house and pick up Liz, and then they'll all come back to the apartment, or to Sean's house. They really can't go to Sean's house, so where are they going to go? Pretty much the Winchester is where they're going to go. So that's their plan. Yeah. But first, Sean has to take a wee, so he goes upstairs to relieve himself and discovers that Pete is in the shower and is a zombie. By the way, it's funny, compared to Sean and to Ed, Pete is a gigantic built guy.
Yeah, he's big, tall, and hulking.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He would be an imposing figure. Luckily, though, he's dead. So they drive on out, Ed and Sean, in Pete's car, in a little bit of hilarity, out to Philip and Mom's house. And Ed notices that Philip has a Jaguar, and he is really, really excited about the Jaguar. In fact, so much so that he says, "Well, why don't I just wait outside for you while you go in?"
Yeah.
And his you can see his brain, his mind is turning. And so Sean goes in and talks to Mom, and then goes to attempt to kill Philip, who he believes is a zombie. Turns out, no, Philip's just, he's been bitten, but he's just sick.
He's still Philip.
Yes. And so they manage to finally talk everybody into going out, into driving to go get Liz. And so Philip's like, "Okay, we're going to follow you." And then Ed's like, "Well, no, I think we need to all take the Jaguar." "Well, why?" And then he shows it. He has intentionally run Pete's car into a pole, so they have to take the Jaguar, because he's Ed. Anyway.
Come on, you got to ensure that you have the Jaguar.
Well, of course. So then they're attacked by zombies, and Philip is bitten even worse at this point. But Sean fights all the zombies, they all get inside the Jaguar, and they drive as fast as they can. All the while, Sean and Philip are in the back seat, and Ed is driving, and Barbara, who Ed is always flirting with, Ed is like, you know, giving Barbara like little winks, and Barbara is handing tissues back to Philip, who's bleeding out of his neck. So they go over to Liz's house, and that's where Sean has to climb up into Liz's flat. And they point out that Sean is there to rescue Liz, and I guess all of them. And they point out that they were fine until Sean brought all the zombies in their direction.
Yeah.
They try to collect everybody, but Philip is in the backseat of the car and has an actually pretty touching scene where he tells Sean that, you know, it was hard to be a stepdad, and it was all very, very sad. And then Philip croaks.
Yeah, he has this little semi-fatherly redemption.
Yeah, it's great. And then he dies.
The hilarious thing about that, though, is even Philip in his death retains his Philipness because he, you know, he stops the music in the car from playing.
Oh, yeah. It's hysterical. But then they all have to go on foot. And while they're, like, on their little foot and their little Scooby-Doo gang, they meet up with Yvonne and her gang, who, by the way, Yvonne and her gang are, like, the carbon copies of the Sean's gang.
That's the doppelganger.
Yes. But did you know that also they're all kind of crazy partnerships?
Yeah. No, they're all equal, like Star Trek evil opposite.
Well, no, but they're also, they were like, all of them are couples in other shows.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines, who plays Yvonne, they were a couple in Spaced. Lucy Davis and Martin Freeman were the couple Don and Tim from The Office. I guess Dylan Moran and Tamsin Grieg were Bernard and Fran from Black Books. And Julia Deakin and Nick Frost were also from Spaced as a couple. So that's a little bit of like insider trivia, I guess, that makes it even more funny.
I thought the doppelganger was hilarious, especially because the stoner at the end, like they both have the same shirt.
Oh, yeah. No, it's perfect. The one has glasses. It's great. It's perfect. So.
It's nice to see, you know, it's always funny to see Martin Freeman, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so they decide to walk over to the Winchester, and unfortunately, when they get there, like one fence away, they discover that, that might not have been a great idea because there's a ton of zombies out in front of the Winchester. So they have to try to somehow sneak into the pub. And how are they going to do it? Well, luckily,
You get to go to Lucy's zombie finishing school.
Exactly, because you know, Diane is a failed actress, right? So she's giving them all an acting lesson on how to be zombies. So they imitate zombies and manage to get over to the pub, but Ed and Sean ends up getting into an argument because Ed gets a phone call, and as they're having the argument, David breaks a window to get into the pub. And Sean's like, so Sean volunteers to lead the zombies away while everybody else goes into the pub. So Sean ends up going off and doing his thing, which I think there's a special feature, which I didn't see, that explains what happens when Sean leads the zombies away.
Yeah, there's actually, they're comic book storyboards that are narrated so there's a Diane one, an Ed one, and a Sean one.
Well, that's fun, because we never really get the, you know, Sean just shows up back at the Winchester.
Yeah, it talks about what happens after Diane takes the leg and goes out the front door.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
She actually lives.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So there could be a sequel.
And then Ed talks about how he had ended up hiding behind the stairs after a fat man fell through the trap door. And that Sean came back a couple days later to pay his respects and found out that Ed was still alive, even though he was zombified. And that's so he lured himself late at night. He lured Ed late at night out from the pub all the way to the shed, which is where he'd been teaching him not to bite people.
That's funny. Well, we'll get to all that in a second because there's still a little bit of hilarity that happens inside the Winchester.
Oh, yes.
Because now we have. They're in the Winchester, but they're by themselves. There's, you know, they're imagining of what would it be like. You've got all the regular cast of characters either from the Winchester there, like the bartender and the owner / bartender and his, trophy wife. And, you know, they're all having a pint and some pig snacks and everything's happy. Well, of course they're there and there's no power and that kind of stuff. And as Sean goes down to deal with the power and finds out that, oh yeah, there's plenty of zombies that followed him. They just couldn't quite get in yet, but now the place is surrounded by zombies.
I mean, kind of a terrifying scene though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's the essence of a zombie movie. Like it's a siege.
Yeah.
So now they're like, oh, what are we going to do? Well, before they could really grasp the importance of the outside world, that's when we discover that Barbara's been bitten. And that ends up with a great deal of tension where I guess zombies converge on the pub, and this is where Nick has said that, I'm sorry, Ed has told Sean to use the rifle above the bar. And Sean's like, that's not functional. There's no way you can have a functional rifle in the bar. You know, turns out, of course, Ed was right all along. The rifle works just fine. But unfortunately, now we have the rifle and we've got Barbara, who has been bitten. So David wants Sean to kill Barbara. And it ends up with this like gigantic tension scene between Sean and David, and Sean and him breaking down and having to shoot his mom. And then, of course, David ends up grabbing the gun and trying to shoot Sean, but of course it's empty. So what, David ends up backing up toward a window and the zombies grab him and start disemboweling him. But Diane goes out to save him. Oh, super gruesome, including they tear his leg off, and Diane is trying to go and rescue him, but she ends up grabbing his leg, and then she goes out the door and disappears into a crowd of zombies. And so this is where you have, they're left with three, where it's Ed and Sean and Liz, and they get like behind the bar and are trying to use a Molotov cocktail. And that's when, I guess, Pete arrives and bites Ed. And Ed jumps over the bar, and Sean sets the bar on fire to kind of keep the zombies away. Plus, he sets off the remaining ammunition that are sitting on the bar. And then they have to go down to the cellar. Where, by the way, you know, Ed is bitten, so you know that he's not going to do well. And they have, what, two bullets left, so they actually talk about committing suicide.
Yeah, they missed.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all the whole thing about how Sean just like, I've already shot my mom and I want to shoot my girlfriend too, you know? So it's like, who's going to go first? That kind of thing. But luckily they discover the little service hatch elevator thing to the ground level. And so they leave Ed behind, they go up through the hatch, and that's when Yvonne and the paramilitaries arrive and starts shooting all the zombies and rescues them.
I just have to want to back up to when they're having the melee in the pub, when the zombies are all breaking through and they're looking for weapons to throw, and right before, you know, all kinds of comes to it. When Simon, when Sean ends up with the dart in the side of his head.
Oh my God. That is, oh, actually, when the fact that when the pub owner zombie, and they all start whacking him, like going around him in a circle, like he's a maypole.
To the beat of the music, by the way.
Exactly. That is so funny. Yeah. And then John gets hit with an arrow, or not arrow, sorry. John gets a dart in his head.
Which is what I'm terrified is going to happen every time I play darts anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Aim for the head. Aim for the head. Whack. No, not my head. Yeah. I mean, at the end, Liz and Sean have survived. And so we flash to 6 months later. And we get like news reports that the uninfected have returned to their normal life. And the zombies that weren't killed are actually, they still have their instincts. So they're used as cheap labor and entertainment. Works out just fine.
Yeah, like service animals.
Yeah. So Liz has moved in with Sean. And Sean, turns out, is keeping Ed in the shed. Where Ed is tethered, like chained up in the shed playing video games. And seems to be having the same life he was having before where the movie started.
Pretty much.
Yeah, none the worse for wear.
Yeah, the house has been cleaned up, clearly, because it's all been remodeled and, like, pure one-ified.
True, because all these have the same couch or a similar couch where they both kind of sit in the same positions that he and Ed had sat in.
But the carpet was all nice and shiny new, and the house was all white and bright and cheery and clean.
Again, so it's a relationship story. I mean, Sean and Liz... Oh, go ahead.
I wrote that this was kind of the anti-Disney movie because the dad dies first.
Well, the dad dies after reconciliation, and the mom dies with some like heartfelt emotion on Sean's part. And, you know, he breaks up and makes up with the girl, and yet he retains his best friend. So it's Sean's dream, really. Except for the fact that his mom dies. Everything works out just fine. And again, it's the first of many Simon Pegg movies.
One of the deleted items that they had to remove, apparently, that somebody thought it was inappropriate. I'm not sure if it was the studio or somebody, but when they're at the Winchester right before Right before David breaks the window, you know how he sees Sean talking to the mail slot, like, hello, is anybody in there? He identifies himself as, because, you know, he's like, we're the ones that come in for the trivia contest every week. And then he announces their quiz name, their quiz team name.
Oh, yeah. What's their quiz name?
Quizzers with Attitude.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's actually, Ed actually says the N-word.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, and because they're trying to be hippity-hoppy guys.
They deleted that out a couple, three times, too. There's a couple more elements of that that get kind of removed.
Yeah, well, and it's all cute when you're in England and just trying to be a gangsta, but it is sort of insensitive, you know. So, yeah, it's probably best to be sensitive. And there's plenty of...
It made me laugh, though. I laughed out loud.
Well, and there's plenty of bad words in this movie. I like that. It's a judicious amount of bad words.
Yeah, they actually compared the number of F-bombs in other movies. So.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, because there was definitely, there's also the English words like, you know, wanker or whatever. But then Sean actually says, right in, like, to his mom, but about Philip, he's like, motherfucker.
Right.
So, just very funny.
And Ed is very fond of, you know, calling everybody cunts. So.
Well, yeah, that's an English thing, too. I kind of appreciate that about it. Well, just the fact that Simon Pegg is just really likable. And Nick Frost is super likable, too, as the buddy. But there's something, like, pretty much endearing about almost every role he's in.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that little glint in his eye of somebody who's maybe up to a little mischief. But, you know, heart of gold. Which I hope is what he's really like, because I will never meet him, so it won't really matter. But it'd be nice to think that that's just his character trait. He just takes from role to role.
He just rolls it all over and over again.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm a nice guy. This time I'm a nice police officer, you know. And I'm trying to think of other Simon Pegg movies because I don't think I saw Paul. Isn't that the space one too?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. I don't.
It was terrible.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. There was some reason why I didn't watch the whole thing, or I didn't rent it at all for some reason.
Wasn't Seth Rogen the alien?
Oh, maybe.
What's the movie? The movie was just named Paul, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm using the internet, but I'm failing miserably.
No, that's okay. When you first started talking about how you wanted February to be a month of British British comedies, somehow I got in my mind that you were going to do like British romantic comedies, like Notting Hill. I'm like, well, I like Notting Hill, but what else are we going to be watching? Like Four Weddings and a Funeral and that kind of stuff? Because while that was a good movie, do I really want to revisit it? Did you?
Yeah. Paul with Simon Pegg. It's Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and who was it? I swear to God, is it? They don't even last. Yeah, Seth Rogen is the voice of Paul. It's not listed on IMDb until way far down. I mean, there was a lot of people in it, though. I mean, Jane Lynch was in it. Jason Bateman was in it. Sigourney Weaver, Bill Hader. There was a lot of good people in it, but I don't know. It didn't really strike me as that fantastic a movie. So, but maybe I was just being really critical.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get to the end of it and throw it up again.
But no, my Britcom idea, and I deliberately didn't pick. I mean, you really kind of steered the ship here, so thank you for that. I didn't do any of the heavy lifting. But you know, I was also, you know, any of the Monty Python films would have worked for Britcoms, and but we've avoided that thus far. Although they will come up in the future.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you're a much bigger Monty Python fan than I am, but that doesn't mean we can't watch them. I mean, that'll be fine.
Oh, I think I'm probably a bigger Monty Python fan than you and everybody else in the family combined.
Oh, probably.
So.
Anything else on Shaun of the Dead?
No, if you get the DVD, it's got, I think I was texting last night, it's just hilarious, the extra features that are in it, so.
Well, and that, again, that's another thing I like is when clearly the people making the film are having a good time, that does make a difference. Now,
well, it has a huge impact because you can, that chemistry transcends the celluloid. Well, now I suppose it's probably all digital now.
Well, it's funny because that isn't always the case in successful movies, as we'll find out at some future date when we talk about Apocalypse Now. Turns out there was a lot of tension in that movie making process, but
yeah. Well, like the trivia that I got off of it, like I told you that, you know, there's a lot of trivia that is available in the film where everybody's name represents kind of what their fate will be. Although you really have to read into it a lot. You know, like Dave ends up in the grave and Liz lives and all of that kind of stuff. It's just all that stuff that they, you know, somebody put a lot of effort into, you know, being hilarious.
Well, and apparently there are a lot of callbacks to Spaced and that kind of thing.
So if you're a loyalist, you will get it. All those Easter eggs are in there for you.
Yeah. Again, which is fun. And, you know, this is the movie, I think, that brought us Simon Pegg, right? I mean,
probably so.
I mean, at least to America. I mean, oh, actually, here's a funny scene that during the opening scene. By the way, I don't know if you're riding on a train now, but there's lots of background noise.
Oh, it's the bar fridge. Hang on, let me close the door. I have a bar fridge in the kitchen that Derek bought me a couple weeks ago because he apparently thinks I absolutely needed one, which is great. It's a great, I mean, I like it. It's spacious. It keeps stuff super cold, and it's got a stainless steel countertop on it, so it's more work surface for my kitchen, which is, for me, a kitchen guy. I love it, but it's loud when it cycles on and it vibrates the house. So,
oh well,
there's going to have to be some muffler going on, some kind of corkage. I'm not sure. Something's got to soundproof a little better.
Actually, some of the room noise I can take out. That won't be a problem.
Yeah, and eventually, my goal is I have my office back, and my goal was to use my office. But as it turns out, I think I told you, before, turns out that being in my office is like a sound tunnel for the entire house.
Yeah.
It's just suddenly every noise in the house is amplified by 1,000. Now, this room, the living room is where I'm at right now. It's nice and open and big, so the sound actually kind of encapsulates. And so it's not quite as obnoxious, I hope.
Yeah, well, and the place where you're most comfortable is the best. I moved from our little area at the bottom of the stairs to the actual room downstairs. And it's, acoustically it's about as good. It's just fine. But it's a little bit more comfortable and definitely a little less noisy. Yeah, so next week it's Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, until next week, this has been British February. I don't know. No, it doesn't really.
Wow. It's fail.
Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.